Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio Presents, an interview that will also be syndicated on Alter Geek and Studio 2009. I'm one of your hosts for this evening, Steve Megatron, and joining me is my usual partner in podcasting crime, TFG1 Mike. Coming to the studios tonight is Lily Wexhue. And if you're not familiar with Lily, she has lent her voice to the Assassin's Creed franchise, appeared on Grey's Anatomy, been the announcer for the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2010 Olympic Winter Games, and is an author. Hello, Lily, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you.
So to get started, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
So I guess the best way to describe me would be, maybe a failed singer who, became an actress who became a voice actress. No. Basically, yeah, I'm an actress. I started acting when I was a kid. When I was really young, I had a really strong connection to my voice and I thought I was going to be a singer. And then my grade, four singing teacher, accused me of sounding like a buzzing bee. So my career ended very prematurely. and then by the time I was about 19, my voice was kind of popular at the time. Everybody would come up to me and say, oh, you should do radio. You have a radio voice. And I was like, okay, sure. Sounds good. And eventually wherever I worked, I befriended some DJs that actually worked at a local station, and they one day needed a female voice, and they called me into the radio station, and I started recording voiceovers that way. And then that kind of became a sort of a side gig. And then over the years, it kind of took center stage, and I still do acting, but my days just get filled up with doing voice work. So that's sort of the story.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a pretty big jump from wanting to sing to jumping to acting.
Well, you know, it's first, many singers end up doing voice acting in particular, especially in animation. It's very, very common in commercials as well. So it's not that uncommon, you know, and also think about musicals, a lot of singing actors, you know. So, but I really, just because I had this super, I just thought when I was a kid, this is like kind of embarrassing, but I don't know, I must have been like around 7 or 8 years old. I just thought I had a really good voice. And I wasn't, you know, necessarily singing or anything. I just thought I had a really good voice. And I didn't know why. Like, nobody told me I had a good voice. I was just a kid, you know? And I just thought, you know, it should be discovered in some way. So, and then I saw Adventures in Babysitting, which was a movie with Elizabeth Shue where she has to babysit these kids, and then she's kind of stuck with them, and she takes them all over town, and she takes them in Chicago in this blues bar. And when I saw the blues singer singing, I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. But then, you know, I failed. Like I said, my teacher just said, no, you can't sing. And I just, you know, I just never sang again. And so I just did what a lot of kids do who like being on stage, which was just acting, you know, in class and theater. So it's not that far of a stretch, but I really did think that voice was going to be my thing growing up, you know, which is kind of strange, but it worked out. It was actually kind of prophetic. So
that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Isn't it cool? You know, I have to watch it again, but I just love that movie. And that when she takes those kids down in the blues bar, I just remember, I was like, finally, like, now I know what I want to do. You know, it didn't quite work out.
Hey, but everything's kind of a stepping stone, though.
Yeah, no, it did. It's funny, you know, and later, much later, like recently, actually, like last year, I started taking singing lessons. I had told my husband, I was like, oh, I kind of would like to sing. And actually for our wedding, we wanted to sing a song for our wedding because he was playing guitar. And I was like, oh, it'd be cool, you know. And I said, I'd have to take some singing lessons. And he got me some lessons. And actually, it was the best thing I did for my voice career. It really just made my voice clearer. more beautiful, more resonant, more resilient. So it actually, and I joke about this and I say it's kind of like Botox for the voice. Like it just rejuvenates you. And yeah, mm-hmm. So singing really is, and a lot of singers do cross over to voiceovers because they have beautiful voice, they're well-maintained, and they have control of their instrument. So it's actually very, very related.
That is pretty cool. I've not heard that angle for voice acting before, but that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and actually for the book, before I wrote the book, I interviewed a bunch of casting directors and directors, and that's when I became aware of the connection, because I didn't even realize it either, because in animation, actors who work a lot in animation often have to sing. Like if you watch those kid shows, there's a lot of singing in them. So I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense, but I never thought about it. So yeah, big, big connection. So if you're a singer listening to this, voiceovers is just a short hop away.
Mm-hmm. So
it's one note down the scale.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So did you always want to be an actor aside from doing music?
Yeah. I mean, around probably the same time I thought that I had the best voice in the world around that time, I probably also thought like I was the best comedian in the world, you know, when you're 7 or 8, there's no one there to do a little ego check. But yeah, when I was a kid, I used to write these little monologues and I used to perform them for my mom. And I used to watch sketch comedy and I wanted to do comedy at the time, actually, is what I wanted. And then I got involved with school plays and took acting classes. So yeah, acting has always been, and also I think, to be completely honest with you, and I think if there are other actors listening to this, they may have a similar situation or any kind of art. Like my mom wanted to be an actress. And I think that, you know, her career got cut short because she had 3 kids really young. And I think that I had one of those outgoing personalities as a kid. And I just thought she was like, oh, she's an actress. And she kind of fed me that. And I kind of thought that that's what I would, you know, like I never, people ask me like, when did you start acting? When did you start thinking about it? And honestly, I don't remember. Like there was never another option for me. Like that's what I thought I would do. Of course, it's a very hard life. Nobody tells you that part. But luckily voiceovers kind of saved me. But in terms of having a career that was sustainable. But yeah, so it was always just something that was kind of natural within me. I never really questioned it until I was a little bit older. And then I was like, well, do I really want to do this? But by then I just was doing it. So yeah, it was just, it's just how it happened. It was just kind of fed to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is very cool. So you were in the Assassin's Creed video games. What was it like working on a video game environment compared to on-screen or other forms of voice acting?
You know, that video game happened, I booked that when I was just kind of starting out professional acting. And it was very, I think I didn't quite kind of take it seriously, to be honest. Like I was kind of untrained and inexperienced. And I remember we had to do, for that game, you know, it takes place in Italy and all the characters are Italian. And so we all had to do an Italian accent. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can do that. No problem. You know, and then I got into the studio and there was a coach and it was just 10 times harder than I realized. I was like, oh, boy, this is not like you've got to really work on accents. You know, some accents are easier than others, but Italian is very specific. And unless you listen to a lot of it, it's going to be difficult. And so I kind of was kind of put in my place, you know, in a way, just like you're going to have to prepare for things. You know, it's all fun and games, but you are a professional here and people expect you to be prepared. And then it was also the beginning of motion capture. And for listeners who maybe don't know what motion capture is, you know, in video games, they basically put sensors all over your face and your body and that, and you basically wear a suit and they put all those sensors all over you and on your face and they film you with those sensors. And then they use those sensors to design characters so that they look real. And so at the time it was the beginning of that. So in my, session, they put sensors just only on my face. And so we had to say our lines with a proper accent. And then we were kind of like in a box with like there was a camera in front of me and there was kind of a box kind of over me, like you couldn't move too much, you know. And honestly, with the accent and the not moving and everything, it was just like, it was hard, you know. It was harder than I thought. And it was very, very humbling. And, you know, video games, it's like theater on steroids, but you also have to be very, very naturalistic. So movement is really important. You kind of have to have bigger movements than you would, let's say, than a film actor, but you your speech has to be like a film actor. So it's kind of a, it's kind of a science, and it takes a lot of experience to find that sweet spot, you know, and it's just by doing it and doing it and doing it. And because the technology was kind of young, like, I think, like, I just didn't know where it sat for me, you know? So, it was challenging. I mean, is an amazing project to be a part of, but excuse me, it was not easy for me. You know, it was challenging. I learned a lot, and I learned that, in any field in the arts that you want to work a lot, you have to really love it. And then you have to train really hard. Like, it's not something you should just expect to be good at and just like ace, you know, training makes perfect.
Yeah. Yep. Totally understand that. Yeah. Cause I play some roles in a, children's, radio drama.
Oh, that's awesome.
Podcast, which I also happen to produce, but I, there
that's
was
so cool.
There was a particular season or series of episodes where I was playing, cause we were doing like a Boston, kind of like a Boston Revolution type thing, during the Revolutionary War. And I had to play like kind of a old timey American. And then I was supposed to also play a British soldier. And I was just having a hard time wrapping my mind around it because I hadn't had sufficient enough time to train for that, that dialect. And, cause they have a couple of different dialects, and it just kind of determines, you know, which one you need to use. And, there was this kid that was in there doing some other lines for a couple of other episodes that we had going. And, I was saying, yeah, I'm having a really hard time doing this British and, accent. And he says, oh, I can do a British accent. And I was like, here you go. I handed him the script, had him read it. And he, I was like, oh, this is great. So I took him to the director of the program, and they were like, oh yeah, this is good. And so they used him, and I was totally fine with it.
You're like, he just saved me.
Yes. I was like, yes, that
it's
was
good
so
when you're
worth
the producer
it.
And that happens. Not so good if you're not the producer.
Yes. Yes. True. I was just like, here you go.
It's so funny because he said, Steve posted this on Twitter, and I'm like, here's at least five different British people that I know that you could ask about how to do it.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, accents are, you know, they come easy to some people, and I have a very musical ear. I think that's something anybody that plays an instrument is a little bit like that. I don't know if you guys play instruments, but, you know, so you pick up the nuances. And but accents, there, if you really want to be authentic, they require some work.
Oh, yes.
Like, because the thing is, in the field too, like, the thing is, there's a, because there's so many people now that are kind of, I want to say, like, allowed to be in the industry. Like, before, the industry was so small, you know, if you weren't in the small circle of people, you just weren't ever going to work. And now, for various reasons, which I go over in my first book, you know, the internet has made jobs accessible for so many more people. And the field, you know, just discriminating less. And so you have so many more people with different accents and, you know, different ethnicities. So they have access to those people. So now, for example, if you're going to do an accent, you better do it really, really well, because the person that's from that place has an agent, and they can get in the door just as much as you do. And you're going to be competing against them. So you better make sure that you have a really solid accent. You know, it's, yeah, it's not easy. It's fun to do. Like, I love doing accents, but, and I'm not like a master, but I love doing it in, let's say, an acting class. You know, you pick a British play or a play set in Boston or whatever. But it is like, it's not easy. It's,
no.
No. To pull off. And we see it too, even with famous actors sometimes. We're like, oh, come on, please. You know, they're only putting up with that because that actor is famous, you know?
Yes.
That happens all the time. There are very few really famous people who can do a really good accent.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well, the funny thing about the famous people is that they're hiring them for that
sound.
Like, you look at Chris Rock, for example, mm-hmm. not to throw the man under the bus or anything, but you look at him and you hear him, like he's the new iPhone 12 Pro ad campaign person. Mm-hmm. That's great. He got that ad. Great. That's awesome for him. But like for the characters that he voices, like in Madagascar and things like that, they looked at him and looked at the character and they said, we want his voice.
Yeah.
We don't want him to do another, like, we don't want him to come in and try to do a Maurice LaMarche or a Rob Paulsen mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. We want Chris's voice. And
that's right.
That's what's so interesting about the celebrity voice, the big time.
Yeah.
When you get, you know.
That's true in every, I mean, it's true even on screen. You know, what happens is that those people, you know, they'll sell the movie, right? So some people will just see it because he's in it. Mm-hmm. So that's a sort of a marketing thing, you know? So yeah, you're totally right. He was not hired to do a voice. He was hired for Chris Rock, you know, do what Chris Rock does. Yeah, absolutely. And that's just a reality of being in the arts. That happens on every level with everything. Yeah, for sure. Yep. It's good to be famous.
Yeah, definitely does. So you have a new ebook series right now called Get Clever About Voice Acting and Announcing. And I saw that it was also kind of dubbed as a very similar to a For Dummies series. What prompted this?
You know, it's when you do voice acting, everybody always asks you like, oh, how do I get into it? And I'd love to do that. And somebody told me I had a really good voice, you know, and people ask you for coffee, for dinner, for this, for that. And honestly, you cannot get that information in one conversation. Like there's so many levels to it. Right. So, and also a lot of the time, like you talk to people and then they, by the end of it, they're like, okay, I'm not going to do it. And so you're like, oh, that sucks.
It's much easier to be like, here's this book.
So over time, I just had so many people and even friends who were in the industry. Like I helped a lot of my friends start their careers. And so my peers would ask me a lot of questions. And so, and I always loved writing since I was a kid. I everything starts when you're a child.
Oh yeah.
When I was a kid, I had a journal. Like as soon as I knew how to write, I had a little journal and I would always take notes and I'm just like a note taker. And so over the years I collected kind of notes that I had put together and I just thought, so it was always kind of a matter of when and not if, you know, for many, many years I was like, well, who am I to, you know, talk about voice, you know? And then one day I was just like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I love writing. And, maybe later on in my career when I'm in, you know, my 60s and nobody wants to hire me anymore as a voice talent, I'll have like started a writing career, you know? So, cause it's hard. It's, I mean, you do get more work when you're younger whether it's on screen or for acting, but you know, in voice acting, it's less severe, but it can happen. And so I'm conscious of that. So yeah, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to do this. It's going to give me some good practice for writing. And it's something I know, and I know it's going to be useful to people. And so that's why I did it. It was sort of a very part-time thing that I did. It took me so long to do it. But then the pandemic happened and I had to kind of get it out in the rush because the pandemic really kind of propelled the industry was already going, you know, towards the home studio and actors having to work, you know, get their own studio, and the pandemic just propelled that. And so I knew that a lot of actors would need to set up a studio and to just need to know how the whole voice acting business worked. So then I kind of rushed to kind of, you know, get it, finish it all together and get it out there for people who might need it.
That's great. Yeah, I've noticed too that a lot of things have changed with between COVID happening and in between just the Internet of Things, and it's just easier to get people remotely. Like even like I was saying with the production aspect of doing a radio drama we had to adjust because of COVID and set people up with their own home studios to record. Mm-hmm. And our director is actually from Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no, it made things totally different.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, I can't tell you when this happened, because what happened was a bunch of pretty much, I feel like all the agents, like in the same week, sent all their actors who didn't have home studios, but who did do voice acting, by going to other studios. They sent the huge email. Everybody got an email from their agent saying, look, everybody's asking for actors, for voice actors right now. you guys need to set yourself up. And so I had so many emails and phone calls going like, what do I do? Like, my director, they need me. And they, you know, and even companies like Ubisoft would send their actors microphones like and sound cards so that they could, you know, have a good good quality sound to record. Now you have to have a quiet space to record in, obviously. The microphone is just kind of the small part of it. The quiet space mm-hmm. is the most important part. But, you know, everybody was like, what do I do? What kind of software do I need? Like, what's going on? So, yeah, it was very real. And a lot of games and animation shows just went remotely. A lot of that was already happening, but it wasn't happening on the scale of high profile companies. And now it did. And so, you know, it's going to go back to in person. Some recordings in person are already happening, but you know, it's really propelled something that was already happening, which is, you know, why are you going to bother getting people in person if you can just get them, and you can get them at a moment's notice too, which is, that's not my favorite part of what the COVID thing is, that everything now is happening. I don't know if you're experiencing that on your end, but it's like everybody, for me, my clients, everybody, it's just like they want everything now. It's like it made everything a lot faster because everybody's kind of at home and they don't have to commute, and they don't have, everybody's just like at each other's fingertips. Mm-hmm. So it makes everything faster, which is really like difficult, because all of a sudden it's like I had, like before, like my clients would, for example, schedule a session in 2 days or in 3 days or next week. Now they're like, can you do this today? You know, because yeah. they know that I'm there in the studio. And so it's made a lot of things faster. But back to the previous subject, it's like, yeah, it changed. It made it possible for people to work from home. And, you know, it's those trends, even though some of the studios are going to go back to in person, obviously for motion capture, they're going to be back in person. But a lot of the video games that don't use motion capture, they're not going to go back. You know, you can get a director on the line, like exactly like you're saying, and like your show is going, and it can all be done, you know, just fine. So, yeah.
It's totally different environment now, but yeah, good. There's good and bad.
Yeah, it's more stressful. I don't know if you felt that, but it's more stressful now. I find that people are just expecting things, like, for instance, auditions. We used to have, like, for video games, normally you'd get like 2 or 3 days, you know, and for animation, same thing. And for commercials, you'd have, I want to say, it used to be 2-3 days, you know, then it went down to 24 hours. Now it's the same day. And a lot of times my auditions, I have to turn them around like in an hour. And, wow. You know, it's tough because, you know, it's just so demanding. We've just become like, it's just a race, you know, and it's hard to keep up with. Like, honestly, a lot of times, like the auditions that are like that, unless they're, I know the casting director and they know me and they've specifically asked for me or it really fits me, I don't bother anymore because I'm just like, I can't, you know, first of all, I've got work or whatever. And it's not sustainable. It's mm-hmm. not sustainable to do that. So I don't know what's going to happen, but that part of the industry is tough. And even for actors, like as an actor, you used to go to there were self-tapes, what we call self-tapes, which is you record your audition, you know, a friend reads the lines with you, and then you record your audition and you send the video in. So that kind of has been happening for years. It started primarily for actors, famous actors who might have been out of town, or mm-hmm. working actors who were out of town. And then it became kind of a thing that happened a lot. And now, you know, it's becoming the norm. So now there's no in-person auditions. But the thing is, for self-tapes, you used to get like 3-4 days. You know, now I got a self-tape yesterday and it was like due today, but please, 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 please send it to me well before then. Meaning, send it to me today, you know?
Yeah.
Which was yesterday. And it's like, okay, you know, and sometimes it could be like 9 or 10 pages of dialogue. So it's, it's going fast. Yeah. It's, but I feel like this is not the only industry it's happening in, you know,
right? Yeah, it's happening everywhere. It's like that old, I'm going to say military saying because I forget which branch it is off the top of my head. I think it's Marines, but whatever. It's like the only easy day was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things now where you had like before the pandemic, we thought we were living in this fast paced world of everything now. Well, now that the pandemic is here, we want things yesterday and last week. And oh, my God, why is this late? And oh, my God, like for me, I haven't had a chance to. I've done several podcasts over the last year, but I've been doing this for 12, 13 years. The network's been around 12 or 13 years. Steve's been doing this for 14 or 15 years. For the last year, outside of recording stuff with him, my computer's in storage back in Illinois. I'm finally getting it, you know, now. But it's one of those things where it's like I haven't been able to podcast the way I normally do it, the right way that I know how to mm-hmm. do it and get it done
right.
in a year. And I'm like, crap.
It's just
can I still
fast.
Do this? Yeah. Can I still do this right? And it's like, oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to, you know, my grandfather has a saying, you know, go slowly. It ends up being faster. Yeah. Go slowly. It ends up being faster. And it's true. Like if you do things right, it does. You do like what happens to me now, even for voice work, let's say I'm more corporate stuff. The clients will send me the script. And then they'll just say, oh, no, there's some changes like 3 days later, you know. So instead of getting it right the first time, so now they go back and they go back and they go back, you know. So it ends up actually being more like energy. It's not cost efficient because your energy, you're constantly having to go back again instead of just doing it right the first time, you know. So it's, yeah, oh, we had it so good before we didn't know. you don't know what you have it until you lose it.
Oh yeah, totally. So
absolutely.
Go ahead, Mike.
What do you recommend to people who want to get into voice acting? What do you how do you recommend them have a plan to do so?
If somebody comes to me and they want to do voice acting, the first thing I want to know is, do they perform in any way? Have they ever been on stage? You know, what their background is. Like, for instance, somebody came to me the other day and they were like a preacher. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of perfect because this person is already performing. You know, they're already aware of performing. So that's always good. If you don't have any experience performing, my first thing would be to find out what kind of voice work they think they want to do. And if it's anything acting related, whether it's animation, video games, commercials, even narration, I would say to them, I think you should go take an acting class if you've never taken one. Go take an acting class, or if you're not into acting, do some improv. Do something that's going to get you on stage, going to get you out of your head, and it's going to get you to commit to saying things that you have not written, but that you have to get behind. Because that's our job as voice actors. We have to get behind whatever we're saying, right? So that you need to train for that. Otherwise, it feels really weird. And you're not going to be natural doing it. And because we're competing against people like Chris Rock, famous people who end up doing commercials, and those people are really great because they have amazing experience, we have to kind of develop the skill that they have, which is really to get behind what you're going to say. Now, that's something that you do long term. You know, I take acting classes all the time. I'm always, if I hit a dry patch, I'm not booking for some reason, I get a coach, you know, in whatever, if it's a commercials that I'm not booking anymore, I'm having struggling with narration. I just always hire a coach and I'm in acting class. When things are busy, I'm not in class when I'm like overwhelmed with work, but when things slow down, I try to be in class and I try to be regular with it, you know? So it's not something you ever arrive at. You don't ever just say like, oh, now I'm an actor and I'm done training. It's like, you're always going to have to learn, you know, I compare it to skiers, you know, or snowboarders or any kind of sport, you know, you never go, oh, I've mastered all of that. You know, I know everything there is to know about that. No, you're always going to need to become better. So that's number one. You have to just think like an artist, be an artist and just commit to that. Then after that, you read my books. No, after that, you have to understand how the industry works, you know, because once you understand how the industry works, you can figure out where you fit in or where you want to, or, you know, where you think you fit in. And when you know where you think you fit in, you want to take specialized training in that specific thing. So if you want to be a video game actor, you need a video game coach. And you should be doing some theater, by the way, if you want to do some video game acting. Theater is like a really a direct gateway. And then you want to take some very specific coaching because there's some specific techniques and things that you should know about in that sector. And then you can make a plan of how you're going to get work. You know, it often starts with a demo. And you shouldn't make a demo before you're ready. So it's kind of a long journey. But then once you have a demo, then you can figure out, okay, how am I going to get jobs? So you can get through an agent. But these days, you don't need just an agent. And even if you can't get an agent, you can still work. There's tons of people doing video game work specifically who don't have an agent, and they work on different video games. Because now the beauty of the internet is that you can find your own clients. You can suss them out. There are casting notices on Facebook. There's pay-to-play sites. There's all kinds of ways to get hired. But it really starts with you committing to thinking like an artist and being an artist and understanding that this is kind of a lifelong journey. It's not going to be a quick get in, make some money, and get out. That can happen. It's not impossible, especially if you start really young. But it's just not the norm. So it's better to go with a blueprint that is going to work than just a sort of magical thinking of, oh, I'm going to get lucky and discovered, you know, kind of like when I was 7 or 8 years old. Like, that stuff doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not how it works. So it's not what's going to keep you in business, making money, having a career, sustaining yourself, being able to buy a house, or do whatever the things you want to do, you know, buy your nice car, whatever, right? So you just need to have a plan. But it really starts with having a mind frame of, it's like you almost like I love comparing it to being an athlete, because athletes have that mentality of just they love it so much. You have to love it so much because it's going to be hard. So you have to know that you're going to get knocked off, and then you're going to have the only reason you're going to get back up again is because you love it so much. So athletes have that kind of like passion and resilience built in because they love it so much. But they also have this discipline of, I can always be better, you know, and that's, to me, voice acting. So it's. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to be at the top of your game to start making money. Like, you can start making money early on in the game, you know? I've seen it happen. But if you have the right mindset, you're going to be in it for the long haul, and you're just going to have more probabilities of doing really well long term, you know? But I'm not suggesting that the money's only going to come in after you're a master. No. I started working. I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I was working. I was paying some bills with that money, you know? So it can happen even as you're discovering yourself, but there is something about just getting in for the long haul and committing to it that's just going to bring you on a level long term where it's sustainable.
That's some great advice.
Absolutely. Let's switch gears to social media. Yay. So something that you've enjoyed doing is your Instagram live streams with fellow voice actors. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of was in conjunction with my launch, you know. So there's three books, right? One of them talks about really, like we just talked about, like being an artist, becoming an artist. And one of them talks about the technical part of recording. And then the third part is sort of the entrepreneurial part. So I'm slowly moving into, I've had a couple of them with some video game voice actors, and just to talk about the truth of, about, you know, working as a voice actor. People often have this idea in their mind, and it's not as glamorous as people think. And I just thought it would be cool to talk to some people and talk about some stuff that we don't always talk about. So the next guests will probably, we're going to get a little bit more technical. And then in the third part, we're going to get a little bit more about the entrepreneurial aspect. But yeah, the idea is to really kind of lift the curtain on on what's actually going on, because we're in a different era. You know, 10, 20 years ago, things were different. Now we're in 2020. There's the internet. It's a strong power. And we kind of have to do our own thing. Like, you know, my friend Elias, the first guest that I had on the Instagram Live, you know, Elias is, you know, he's the voice of Adam Jensen in Deus Ex. People love him. But, you know, he had to kind of make his way himself to the Comic-Cons, you know? So it's not something people think about. It's just, but you have to always be doing things yourself. And I think once people understand that, then voice acting becomes a lot more accessible, and they realize, like, they have the tools. It's going to depend on them. And that's kind of my whole thing about the books, is like, you can do this. You can do this on your own. You don't need an agent. You know, I was years without an agent, and I did fine financially, like six figures fine, you know, and I didn't have an agent. So, and there are others, there are so many others like me. So, but it's all about kind of doing it yourself. And so that's kind of what I try to talk about in the Instagram Lives on some level, whether it's from the acting perspective. You know, acting you can't do on your own. You have to do with other people. But, right. You know, the technical part and the entrepreneurial part, all those things you can also do with other people. But the point is you have to take charge. You know, nobody's going to take you by the hand. And just like I said before, like, discover you. You know, you're going to have to do things on your, even if people on the outside world think, wow, that guy, you know, or that girl, you know, they're so successful. I want to be like them. Well, guess what? They do a lot of their stuff on their own, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of empowering to know that, because then you're like, oh, okay. It's not like you sign with an agent and then they do all the dirty work. You know, no, it's not like that anymore. You know, you have to do all the work now. You know, yeah. Now, in fact, you kind of have to build your own resume, and then maybe an agent will consider you. Like, it yep. used to be the opposite. You used to go to theater school, get an agent, and they would help you build your resume, you know, because they would give you access to auditions, get you meetings with directors and things like that. That's still happening for a very, very, very small portion of people. The rest of us mortals have to just build our own careers. But it doesn't mean you're not going to have an excellent career doing extremely well and reaching a six-figure income if that's what you want. It's not going to be overnight. It's not a guarantee. No, there's no such thing. But it is absolutely within the realm of possibilities if you work hard. So,
that's like what you were saying earlier about going to acting classes and learning the craft, and then going in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you needed the agent, like you just said, to get your foot in the door. Mm-hmm. Now, in the day and age we live in now, social media is your agent, essentially, where you just said you have to build your own career. You have to kick in the door yourself, and you have to say, hey, I've done this, this, and this. Notice me.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, that, you know, that kind of thing where.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Self-promotion is key to anything nowadays.
Absolutely.
And if you're not self-promoting, you're not gonna succeed. And this is coming from a failed author.
But you
I'm
know,
not kidding. I have three books published, and I never did anything with any of them.
Well, yeah, but like you said, you didn't do anything with them. You know what I mean? If you decide,
exactly,
if you decided
it's,
to,
right.
it was it's, you know, it's up to you. You probably decided that energy wasn't, you know, you were going to put your energy in something else, right? Because we only have so much energy. Let's be real here. You know, you can only do so many things. But like, there's this one guy. On Instagram, and he's on TikTok, and he does insanely well. And, you know, he's figured out a way to use his, he's a voice guy. He's a voice actor, and he's figured out a way to promote himself while also kind of just being himself. So he does these, like, these commentaries on these reviews, these like live reviews on like McDonald's food and like the new McNuggets, you know, like he does all these ridiculous, super ridiculous like food reviews, and he does all sorts of things, and he uses awesome, beautiful voice to do it. And he reaches so many people, and guess what? He gets work from it. Now, I want to talk about something here. Social media is great. Absolutely. If you can figure out how to build, you know, your following, authentically, kind of the way that he's done it, right? So he uses his skills to keep people's attention. Then it's great. But there's also the internet, so a website, right? So you can also create a lot of traffic for yourself and turn visitors to a website into clients, actually more easily than you would by being on social media. But social media is an important tool. And if you're young and you already enjoy getting likes and you've already figured out that I get more likes when this happens or I get more likes when that happens, then you already have kind of a leg up. You know, that I talk about that in the book. It's like a lot of people are scared of the skills that you need to become like a working voice actor. But the truth is you already have those skills. You're already on Instagram waiting for those likes. You're already doing that and getting them and building your following. Well, it's the same thing with your marketing. It's going to be the exact same thing. You know, you're going to get out there and knock on doors and people are going to like, or they're just going to pass. It's the same thing. It's the same skills. So, but I just also want to reassure people that if social media is not your thing, for instance, and you have you're someone that you know you've taken classes and your teachers are like you're really great. It's time for you to get clients. It's time for you to go out there and get yourself out there. There's also other tools like search engine optimization, for instance, right? That you can use to help buyers find your website. So there are other tools that you can use as well to promote yourself. But either way, you are the one that's going to power that machine. You can get some help. You can hire a company to do it with you. Definitely, you know, but you are the power behind that machine. Nobody's going to do it for you. If you just have a website and you just put it out there and you don't do any work to optimize it, well, guess what? It's just going to sit there. Same thing with your social media. If you're just going to create an account and post a picture once a month, well, you're not going to get a whole lot out of it, right? So you have to power that machine. But what I also want to say, though, is that you don't have to power all of them all the time. Pick one machine that works for you, that works with your personality, that works with what you have to offer, and focus on that. For some people, it's YouTube. You know, it can be a different thing depending on your talent and what you want to do. But I do recommend, I'm just going to find this guy's Instagram because I think he's a really good example of what you can do as a voice actor. It's the perfect example. So let me just try and see, what his handle is. Sorry guys, you're probably gonna have to edit this.
It's crazy too, what you can achieve, just through, just self-promotion of just having fun with it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I got so many clients just reaching out to people with my material and, you know, it's just something that you can do that is well within your reach. And if you like getting likes on Instagram, you'll be fine with marketing. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. You're throwing spaghetti on the wall and some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. And you learn which ones stick and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. It's funny. We've been doing this thing for God knows how long now with the podcasting. And Steve says we have numbers. And Steve says that specifically my stuff gets listened to. And I never believe him until he actually shows me a sheet. Because every time I put something out there, every time I put in a podcast episode out or whatever, it's like, oh, okay, it's just Mike doing another one of his posts.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, you know, if you want to do it to a scale. You have to decide where your energy. The bottom line is this: if you're getting, we all have to just get paid. You know, we have to pay our rents, pay our mortgages, pay our cars, pay our food. So whatever brings in that money, the rest is kind of extra, right? So it's like if you're making money with your voice or with your whatever you're doing. If that's making you money, then you don't need to go out and have a crazy social media account. You're making the money, you know? It's if you're not and you're looking at ways to market yourself, then that's when it becomes a proposition, you know? But you can, like, I spent my first years just reaching out to people, you know? And that's all I needed to do. So I didn't have to build a huge social media presence because I reached out to people personally, and then eventually those people became my clients, and then those people became repeat clients, and then they just keep coming back to me, right? So then it creates like, oh, I have a bunch of clients that keep me busy. So I don't need to do all that social media work. But if you're just starting, they're great tools to get out there and show what you can do and attract some new eyeballs, because everybody's on social media. So the guy that I was telling you about, who's a great example, mm-hmm. his handle is S_Johnson_voiceovers. So okay. he's just figured out, like, you know, he uses his personality and his voice, and he packages it in a way that you know what you're getting. If I'm going to be a client, I know, like, I instantly know why I want to hire that guy. It's clear, you know, he's got this big baritone voice. He's hilarious. So I know he's going to bring out the humor in any copy I give him. And he's just a no-brainer. You know, I don't need to listen to 50 demos. It's just like, I hear him and I'm like, that's the guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can look at this example, and you think you have something you can bring, then that's a great way to handle your social media, whether it's on YouTube or Facebook, wherever you want to be.
Right. Nice. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'll have to check him out later.
I just sent it to you.
Oh, okay.
He's very funny. He's very funny. He's hilarious.
So before we let you go, how can our listeners find you and the various projects you have coming up that you can speak about?
Okay, so I work primarily in a sector of the industry right now that is, it's just not, it's like, I do a lot of boutique voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's ad agencies who are doing manifestos. A manifesto is when a company talks about themselves.
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily like a product in particular. And they basically hire me to be the voice of that manifesto. And so a lot of the stuff happens behind closed doors, and it's very annoying, because, you know, I would publicize a lot of it, but I can't, because a lot of it is, as we were talking, you know, before the show about the non-disclosure agreements. So I would say right now, you know, the best thing to keep in touch with me would be, you know, go to my website, lilywexuvoiceovers.com, that you will usually have the latest things I've worked on. And then let me just think if there's anything special that would be like, oh, wow, you know, right now it's political season, so I do some political messaging, but I don't want to get into that because who wants to talk about that?
That's not fun.
Right, exactly. So it's a lot of stuff like that, you know, so it's not like the super sexy stuff, unfortunately. But if you go to my site, you'll see what I do. And I'm just trying to think of something. I recorded something all day yesterday. Oh, it was, you know what I get hired to do a lot of these days? It's just coronavirus, like, prevention, like all of it. It's just coronavirus, just wear a mask and protect yourself and do this and do that. And one day we're all going to be able to get together. So it's all of that stuff. So it's not very sexy.
So since you're in voice acting and announcing and all of that, why isn't your book on Audible?
Oh, yeah, because that would take so long.
Oh, come on. It can't be that long.
I know. You know what? You know how long it took me to, like, finish writing that thing and bring it to a level that was, like, acceptable, like, reading? Like, because, like, when you write a book, like, at the beginning, you're like, oh, this is easy. I could just write anything. And then you're like, oh, that's really crappy writing. So it took me a long time to get it to a level that was, like, professional, you know? And then now I would have, you're right, I would have to, I mean, so many of my friends ask me that. They're like, oh, come on, just do it. You know, it's time consuming. Right now, since the pandemic hit, it's been so busy. Honestly, I did not imagine this would be the case. But it's been really, really, really busy. And I just haven't stopped. So when things slow down, I'm assuming around the holidays probably, although this year, who knows?
Who knows?
you know, there might not be holidays, you know. But yeah, when it slows down again, it's something that I know people have asked me to do, and I will do it because, hey, who wants to read, right? It's way better to listen to stuff.
Well, here's my thing. It's a book about voice acting and announcing.
I know.
You would, and honestly, it isn't just that. It's more so for me personally.
Yeah.
While I grew up reading and I love reading, I absolutely do. I mostly on the Audible stuff that I do listen to, it's mostly autobiographies and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever. But it's like, I love hearing the people that wrote the book read the book to me and hear it in their voice instead of me reading the text on the page and trying to think in my head, what are they really saying? How are they sounding when they say this? So I'm a very auditory type person, and it's like, I'd rather hear it than try to strain my eyes to read it at 1 a.m.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. I'll always remember the day that this was a long time ago, it was still cassette tapes. But at the time it was a book on tape. It was Ethan Hawke, you know, the actor. He wrote, I think, several books, but I think it was his first book. And I put it in the car, and I had a long road trip. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, Ethan Hawke narrating his own book. Like, yes, you know, so I totally get what you're saying. I'll join the club eventually. I will. You're making a really good point.
Which point was taken. Was that Rules for a Night?
I think it was called, Ash Tuesday or something like that?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's one of his first books.
Hmm.
I think it was called Ash Tuesday. It was. I don't remember the book being particularly good, to be completely honest. But listening to him, I mean, I love him as an actor. Listening to him like narrate it, I was like, "Yeah, that's cool."
Well, it just makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I agree.
It's just one of those things where if you get attached to a voice and you're like, "Ooh, I'd love to hear this person all the time," like, and this is not embarrassing for me to admit, but for God knows how long now, I'm a huge fan of the Investigation Discovery Network.
Oh yeah,
and my number one favorite show on that network just ended recently, Homicide Hunter with Joe Kenda, and I have his first book. His second book comes out in March of next year. I've listened to his first book so many times that I know it by heart. And
that's so funny.
It's not because it's boring. It's more because the dude puts me to sleep every night because his voice is just so good in how he said. And I'm like, I could start at any chapter. And as long as it's, you know, longer than, you know, an hour or so left in the book, I can just immediately just fall out and go to sleep.
That happened to me with the Game of Thrones books. Did you ever listen to Game of Thrones, the audio version?
No.
Oh my God. That voice actor is insane. He did, like, you know how many characters there are in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Right.
But in the book, it's just so crazy. And there are 50 hours per book, by the way. And I would totally, like, every night just put that on and just totally fall asleep. And then my husband the next day would be like, but you don't know what happened. I was like, no, I don't. But yeah, I hear you. Get to be put to sleep by audio.
It's fun.
Absolutely. We would like to thank Lily for taking the time to chat with us in this Geekcast Radio Presents interview. Stay tuned for future interviews on Altered Geek, Geekcast Radio, and Studio 2009. We will catch you next time, folks.
Bye-bye.